Hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 1 and then Matthew chapter 1. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon to Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now I consider Joseph one of the most faith-filled people in the universe, in the history of mankind. To take his wife anywhere at 9 months pregnant took a man of real faith. And Mary, a lot more faith. 9 months, 80-mile trek to Bethlehem. Crazy. Unless God was leading them. Now, tradition tells us, of course, that they did this on a donkey. I don't know if there was a donkey or not. I think she walked the entire 80 miles. But I know there was a phrase that's become a central phrase in every married couple and every family's life since then. And that's this phrase, are we almost there? Are we almost there? I'm sure she asked it 500 times. And there's something in each of us, in every Christmas season, every season, but every one of us, the expectation and the desiring and the longing and the wishing and the hoping. Where does that come from? I don't think it's just a human thing. I think there's something put into us by God. I'm meant for something more. I'm meant to go someplace. I have significance. I'm purpose. There's an end to all of this mess. I've got to be called to something more than I can just perceive in my small heart. All of us are like that. Are we almost there? It's interesting to me. I do a lot of my best thinking at 3 a.m. Sometimes I get mad at you because I'm awake at 3 a.m., but sometimes I think pretty good thoughts. I'm thinking church life. I'm always thinking about needs and sermon outlines and what I did wrong yesterday or the last hour, 3 a.m. So I wake up this morning with this thought. What is a cantata? I've never looked at the word before. I sing cantatas, but I don't even know what the word means. Now, you all do, but I don't. Cantata is a story with a song. A story and song. It's a narrative. That's what we have this morning. Singing a story in which God is involved in fulfilling all of our desires. Every human wish that you can think of, he's ultimately fulfilled it in his holy way. So I began to think about creation. Creation's a cantata. That's what it is. From the beginning of creation, it's sung beauty. All around us are these signs. Every hour, you know, in our beautiful church, the steeple of the older church building, we have these chimes, these bells. They ring every hour. Why? To bother our neighbors? I don't think so. I think it's a reminder. This is an hour where Jesus is made possible. Chimes, bells, ringing. What's that all about? It's to tell us something's past, but we're expecting something in the future, something brilliant, something glorious. It's never been like this before. We're going someplace. Bells, rings, think about Christmas and all the symbols around us. Creation and sound and beauty, it all points to him. Think about this covenant, the covenant with Israel. This is what we talk about. It's our story. Yes, we're Christians, but it's our history. We're involved in a cantata of history. That's why Matthew, I think he was a pretty good musician, he says, well, let me just simplify it. Let me give you three verses in this cantata. 14, 14, 14. Abraham to David, David to Babylon, Babylon to the Christ. You want to sing with us? Sing that chorus. Listen to the history again. God is speaking. He never stops speaking. In all of those people, that ragtag group of herders and farmers and blue-collar workers in an obscure corner of the universe, God says, this, through this people, this family, this line, this scandalous couple, I'm going to offer the redemption of the world. Now, you can believe it or not, but that's what Christians have said. This 3 a.m. thought I had was, Does anybody else sing but Christians? Who else? I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be negative. I just want to ask, what other religion sings cantatas? I don't know of one. There's nothing to sing about. There's no joy to sing about in other religions. You and I have the only joy to sing about. God has come in history. What if all creation is just one big celebration of the coming of God to his own people? Enjoy. Come to him. And what if the last and most important point is this? What if this phrase, "Are we almost there," applies not to us, but to God? What if the Lord, the triune God, is the most excited participant this morning in this cantata? What if this is all his plan, all his dream for somebody here who's heard the boring outline of the gospel 10,000 times and said, no. What if this morning, while someone is singing about Jesus, God can say, "Do you know how much I love you? Well, look around you. This is how much. Open your Bible. This is how much from beginning to end. I'm always faithful. Are we almost there? If you're a sinner, there's salvation in the Savior Jesus. And if you're a saint, your only sanctification is in that Jesus. And he's here today. I pray that as this motley crew of people behind me, and they're a wild, sick bunch. Let me just tell you that. Whoa. God's given me grace, but I'm still with them. Anyway, this precious group, I've watched them hours and hours since September. Pour over this music. Be correct. You know why? Not because they want you to look at them. They're all pointing to the triune God. The Father, listen to this conversation. The Father has turned to the Son and said, "Son, it's almost time." And the Father, Son says, "Is this the moment?" And the Father says, "Yes." And Jesus turns to the Holy Spirit and says, "I'm going to need all of your power if I'm going to do this." And the Spirit says to the Father and the Son, "We're almost there. We're almost there. Surely they will know in Elizabeth City. Surely they will know we love them. Surely they won't miss that. Surely they won't try to live life on their own power. We're almost there." What if all the waiting and planning it explodes when heaven realizes on earth somebody gets it? The only response I found, it's not even in English. The only response we're allowed to sing, even in this cantata, is in Latin. My son's a Latin major. I've tried to figure out why that is. Latin, what do you do with Latin? I'll tell you why. Latin gets you ready for heaven. That's what they sing in heaven. Gloria in excelsis Deo. 116 times in this cantata, glory, gloria, glory, glory. You know who's singing? The angels. You know why they're singing? Because Jesus has come, and some people, a handful of them, get it. And those guys show up and they say, "Glory. Glory in the highest heavens. Jesus has come. Jesus has come." Amen.